Chapter 6 Summertime Blues. There were another 9 days of school before St. George's broke up for summer. I did my best to avoid Jeff Murphy and Kenan Abbott. They didn't seem to realize, which is hardly surprising. See, they had schedules that dictate a lot of their day, even though they were too stupid to know they had a routine. I knew where they lived. So QED, I knew what roads they used to get to school, and I also knew their timetable. It's like the showdown at the end of Terminator 2, when Arnie's been knocked down in the metal foundry, and you think he's out of it. Then his vision comes up with, "Rerouting, alternate power," and the CPU chip that's his brain shows a circuit map where the power feed changes direction. Well, that's what I did. Depending on time, location, and their timetable, I simply changed direction and avoided them before contact. Smooth and easy, like I had a digital brain too. Obviously, I couldn't anticipate random positioning factors, so I did encounter them occasionally, but I certainly managed to make those 9 days a lot easier. After term ended, I had 6 days before we went on holiday. I walked along the Bus Splash Road every day. That's what I called it now. Bus Splash Road. Important places always get named after the events that happened there, and this was going to be the most major event of the 21st century. The memory had to be some kind of time quake. You can alter the fabric of space-time with exotic matter, which is what physicists call negative energy. There's a lot of internet sites on the subject. I mean, really, a lot. I worked out that someone in the future must have experimented with exotic matter and caused a crack in time, which I saw through. I'm not quite sure how I saw through someone else's eyes, but when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Everyone knows that. It's one of the most famous quotes ever, right up there along with, "I am your father, Luke." See, I thought about it for days, and if you used Sherlock Holmes' logic, there was no other explanation. For a few seconds, I was a really weird kind of time traveller. That was why the road would be renamed. Because it's the most important thing that happened in Islington, ever. Now I just had to work out how it happened. One thing I thought, which was my favourite theory, maybe it was me up there in the future, experimenting with exotic matter, because I know it will work. That's not quite a temporal paradox, I think. Super smart people like Stephen Hawking always say time travel isn't possible, because what happens if you go back in time and kill your grandfather? You wouldn't get born, so you can't exist to travel back to murder him. Paradox, see? So, time travel can't happen. I don't understand why that's the example they give. Why would anyone want to kill their own grandfather? Unless he was Hitler, I suppose. Whatever. In the future, I could be like this amazing scientist with a cool laboratory, same as Tony Stark. If I am, the smart thing to do would be to send Now Me a list of share prices from the future, so I could invest money in startups that are tiny today but may grow into the next Google or Apple in 10 years' time. That way I'll have enough money to pay for the experiments. The only flaw with that was that I didn't have any money to invest in startups. Future me would have to send Now Me a winning lottery number instead, which I'll definitely remember I'll have to do, which isn't a paradox, so it could work. I walked up and down Bus Splash Road, waiting for it to happen again. That was okay for a couple of days. I'd do it 3 or 4 times a day, taking it slow. There were differences apart from the number plates that I checked out. Simple ones, like the trees were smaller back in the not-me memory. The shops had changed too. Several in the memory must have shut down, like the big video rental store, which was an organic bakery now. It was strange seeing the ones that were still there. I stared in through the windows, checking if they'd grown shabby since, or if they'd prospered. Some of the shopkeepers started to stare back, and I'd move on. I don't think they were suspicious. On the third day, I got hit by a random positioning factor. Kenan Abbott was walking down Bus Splash Road and saw me. He was with his crew, a whole bunch of stupids who crowded around me. Sharp-facing, which is just a dumb name for standing in front of someone and acting all tough and shouting things like, "What you at, bruv?" "It's a Julian, look!" "Julian, kind of handle is that?" "Ain't you street this, what you doing here?" I didn't answer. It wouldn't have mattered what I'd said. They were standing so close they were jostling into me. "Dem is right cack treaders, man. You poor?" They laughed at each other every time one of them sneered at me to show they were all solid. A real, dim-witted, loud, false laugh. It was as fake as their gangster speak. They don't talk like that when they're at St. George's. I knew all that. That they're bullies, that they're cowards. But it was London. Young crews are all high on drugs. Rival kids get stabbed all the time because of turf wars. It says so on the tabloid sites. And I was alone. And death is so stupidly easy, with pain more so. There were no teachers to stop them. And no police, because they don't walk the local beat protecting people anymore. They just persecute motorists to rake in money from speeding fines. And I was frightened. Really frightened. And my mum was dead. "Julian, he got him a special needer badge, bruv." "Yeah? True. I see you is real." "Take my phone," I told them. I was crying, trying to pull the phone out of my pocket. If they got my phone, they might run off with it and fence it for more drugs or something. Kenan suddenly yelled, "OMG, you is vile!" And his face twisted up into shock and disbelief. He started shrieking with this cruel laugh that blocked out every other sound. "Julian, you is pissed yourself!" And then they were all laughing and pointing at my trousers, which were wet because I was so scared I'd urinated. "Julian specially needs to piss." "Pissed hisself! Pissed hisself!" It was a chant growing louder and louder. Their laughter was like a wolf pack howling at the moon. I pushed through them blindly, running. Running, I didn't care where. All the jeering faded away behind me. Other people on Bus Splash Road were shouting now, calling out as I stumbled past. I'm not good at running. I'm not good at any sport. It was hard to breathe. I could hardly see through the tears. Then I was off Bus Splash Road, staggering through a little park. I got off the path. There were people on the path. I didn't want to see them. I didn't want anyone to see me. My foot got caught on something. This sharp, hot pain flared in my ankle, and I went sprawling on the grass. And there it was. Another memory that didn't belong to me. I tumbled onto the grass from a very dodgy tackle. "Are you effing blind, ref?" My legs smeared with mud and cold with it. and the ball gets kicked out of their half towards our goal. "You okay, Mike?" Hooper asks. He doesn't really care, I can tell. He is jogging on, looking back over his shoulder. "I'm on it," I tell him, and scramble up. My ankle is tender, but to hell with that. The other team are slamming our goal like a hornet swarm, and Al Mamoum isn't exactly the greatest goalie in the league. I start running for the penalty box to give the defenders some help. Our supporters along the touchline give a mocking cheer at my heroics. All 10 of them. 3 wives, 4 girlfriends. Karen gives me this half-sympathetic smile as I go past, and Chaz from the pub, along with some of Gary's mates. Still, at least the other team have only managed 8 supporters. The whistle blows just as I arrive. Their star striker, Russell, in his late 20s, and a previously unknown species of land whale, has kicked the ball over the back line. "Oh, midfield's back to help, look," Hooper laughs as I limp to a halt. "Panic over, lads. Nice tea break, Mike." I flick him a V sign and get into position, as Al Mamoun looks around nervously to see who he should kick the ball to. "Not me, not me," I try to tell him mentally. My ankle is really quite bad, and, of course, he kicks it to me.